Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Our Father's Word, how fantastic it is. Chapter 3, the great book of Isaiah, we're going to get into today. Our Father, in the last chapter, as he was preparing for this, said, in the last days. And this kind of these first chapters of Isaiah look forward to the Lord's day. Now, one of the primary messages in chapter 2 was, Don't put your stock in men and follow men. Follow your Father, Almighty God. So then today in this third chapter, he kind of covers the political ruin of Judea. Okay, how it comes to pass. Chapter 3, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father. Let's get right to it. Verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water. In other words, I'm going to cut it off. You're going to lose it. In the spiritual sense, you need to think about what this truly means in the last days. Because as we read in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, the famine of the end times is not for bread, but for hearing the real word of God and from following Almighty God. I want to teach you something as we're coming, passing by here. You will notice it said, behold, the Lord of hosts. This is two different words. You will notice that the first Lord mentioned is in lowercase. And it's Adonai, okay? But then when it's both, all letters are uppercase as it is used, Lord of hosts, it is Yahweh of the multitude, the host of angels, the host of people, the Lord of all. Okay, so just when you see all in the uppercase, then you have the sacred name. Verse 2, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, and the ancient. You're just not going to have them. I'm cutting it all off. Verse 3, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artifact, and the eloquent orator, those that can really talk to evil spirits and you, whatever you should want for entertainment. Verse 4, and I will give children to be their princes. That's to say your politicians. And babe shall rule over them. In other words, all of your politicians in the end times are going to have the minds of children, not adults. Now, this is a sad state of affairs, my friend. He said, as far as wise men or counsel or depth of thought, you can forget it. Basically, I'm going to cut them off. That's if what? The subject from the prior chapter, if you're following man instead of God. You always want to listen to your Father, and you better take time out in your life if you want to be blessed. If you want to take part in the eternity, then you'd better listen to your Father, for he rules there and here. And these are not idle threats that he's making here. You don't have to look around too much today in any, where is common sense among politicians? You got a few, but basically overall, babes rule. Or minds of babes rule, so to speak. Verse 5. And the people shall be oppressed. That's what happens. Every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. Do your neighbor before he does you. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. You'll have a bunch of smart-mouthed kids. And the base against the honorable. That is to say, the criminal against an honorable man. That is wrong will be right and right wrong. Turn everything upside down. That's just, and that's the way it goes. Sometimes a person defending his own property can have criminals coming after him and threaten his life if he does defend his property. That's all right. Defend it. And if the criminal wants to come on down, come on down. Okay. Always be prepared. Follow God, not man. That's the subject. Verse 6. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. You take the responsibility for it. Don't leave me out of it. You, it's your fault. Always pointing the finger and trying to blame on somebody else. Men and women of God stand up and take the plate. They don't back off from batting. When it comes to their bat, they're going to stand up and bat. And they're hopefully going to bat it right out of the park. Don't try to pass the buck and not be responsible for your own happenings. It is your responsibility, and you can cut it, okay, if you have the blessings of God. Verse 7, to continue. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. Now, if you're a Christian, you should always have the bread of life in your home. His body is the bread, and his body took the stripes. We get the healing. And what about this clothing? You always, always put the gospel armor on and in place. And you wear that gospel armor wherever you go. And what is the main purpose of the gospel armor? To stand against the fiery darts of Satan. Why? Because he's coming as the false Messiah. This is a prelude to that, to his appearance before the true Christ returns. If you have on the bread of life, and if you have on the gospel armor, you'll never go empty. You will have the blessings of God, and your house will be blessed. So beware of those that would say, I do not want the responsibility, okay, on their own behalf. Verse 8, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. Their words and their deeds do bring out the famine. And you can understand why it's fallen. Of course, this is looking forward to the time that the Antichrist actually stands there. That's why you want to watch this geographical location. It is written, it will come to pass exactly that way. As Daniel the prophet would say, when you see the desolator coming, that's the false Christ, then flee Judea, flee Jerusalem. How precious our Father's word is. Their doings are against the Lord, not for him. And then they would pray for a blessing? I think not. Verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. You can tell by looking at their face. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. I mean, they're out of the closet. They do it openly. Woe unto their soul, the nephesh. For they have rewarded evil unto themselves. They bring it upon themselves. They don't care. They proudly, you can tell by their face they don't, and they trumpet right out in front of everybody, going against God. Take God's name out. Don't let God prayer be in the schools. Just remove God totally and completely, and you lose the blessings of God, and you have murderers and rampage. The very breath of Satan running the land. When you throw as Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah? He destroyed it. He's not happy about that. Verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. In other words, If you are righteous, you stay out of usury, the net that the enemy places out on the world. You stay out of that, and you will be blessed of God. Don't follow man. Follow your Father. Follow the Word of God. And be blessed by all the good things that God brings forth. What God is doing here is assuring you that if you love Him, He's not angry at you. Everything will be well. And you're going to eat the fruit of their doings, meaning when you do right, the fruit's going to be right. But when you flaunt, if you flaunt your sin in front of people, then you're going to reap the rewards of that also. God promised it. It is written. It is so. Verse 11. Woe unto the wicked. Blessed are the righteous, but woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. What he does shall be done to him. Okay. Now, you always make, and with God, you always write your own sentence. If you do wickedly, then God's going to turn around and see that that wickedness falls right back on your head. Dead sinner. Verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Those that lead are what? The teachers. The teachers do err in bringing forth the word of God. The fact that it says, and women rule over them, unfortunately, the feminine always receives the bad, I think, of a situation, because it's an idiom that means the weaker. In my mind, I don't think they're weaker, but that's what they used it for, that it won't be the strong that rule over you, that give guidance, that teach you how to be a can-do type person, but some wimp will be over you. Some wimp will be teaching you. The give-in doctrine. Let Satan win doctrine. Don't upset the atheist. I mean, don't upset someone else. Don't say something that might offend them. Hey, the truth shouldn't offend anyone. And if it does, that's tough. Tough cookies. We're not taking a back seat to anyone. Christians are not second-class citizens. And teachers can err a great deal when they do not teach the letter that Almighty God sent us chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby the truth abounds. And we have that leadership that we need from our Father, not man. Verse 13, the Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. Now, you know, a lot of people, your little wimpish preachers, are going to say, there the Lord standeth up to plead with you to come just as you are. That's not what the word means in the Hebrew. He stands up to accuse. Because it's written what you've done. And when he stands up to judge, he's going to accuse you or swallow up what you've done. You're going to swallow it up. What you do comes right back on your head. And you can't con God. You know, it's written in the book. Your name is in heaven, whether you like it or not. Whether you're an atheist or a non-believer or what, your name is in the book. And what's written by it is actual fact. You don't con God. And that's what he judges you by. I don't know how are you doing, friend. Think about it. 14. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. You've ripped them off. The so-called judges and leaders and rulers, you've ripped the people off, overtaxed them, underfed them, until their spoil is in your house and you're guilty. This goes with spiritual teachings also. You know, this is why that as a teacher, you always want to make sure what you teach. Do you teach the Word of God? Or do you teach some other word? Do you teach traditions of men? Then I feel sorry for you if you do. If you don't stick with the Word of God, you got a lot to answer for. And as God says, you rip the people off, I'm going to rip you. Verse 15. What mean ye that you beat my people to pieces? No mercy. And grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord of hosts. He notices things. He keeps record. You don't put anything over on our Heavenly Father. A lot of people are going to say, well, I don't know if I can believe that or not. Well, how's your life, friend? If you don't worship Him and love Him, I can tell you what your life, you're a miserable person. You may have a few good hours here and there, but overall, you're one miserable crank. Okay? Because joy and peace of mind only comes from our and through our Heavenly Father when He blesses. Just like you said earlier, the righteous are going to be blessed. And the others, I'm going to choose you. And those that rip them off, that put them in that place, they're going to be accused more so. Verse 16, moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, I mean uppity, and walk with stretched forth necks. They try to look taller than they really are, bigger than they really are. And wanton eyes, searching here and there, darting to and fro, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Now, you know, this does not mean females alone. This is symbolic of the house of Zion and the people that dwell there, playing the harlot, okay, are being so uppity that you couldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. And there's a strange thing within this verse. You with companion Bibles, it will even make note of it, that the word there, their feet, the word there is masculine. And it's always used of women who act as men. Okay, so that kind of puts a little more, sheds a little more light on the subject here, that it's talking about overall this bride that's supposed to be awaiting Christ. And this is what she's doing, tinkling her little bellish feet. 17. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In other words, He's going to strip them naked. That's what secret parts mean. They're going to be made naked. Now, there's something you need to know about this word scab, sulfak. The word means to, it doesn't mean to scrape off. If we were to take the hair of her head and scrape it off, that would be one thing, but the word means scrape out. And it means, I have no doubt that it means scrape out even your immune system, if you would, when you participate in those things of going so totally as Sodom and Gomorrah against the Word of God. And when your immune system is scraped out, that brings on tragedy to lose everything. Boy, she won't be haughty anymore. Verse 18, and it continues. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery, that means her finery, of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon, their headdresses and their headscarves. They're going to be gone. None of that fancy stuff decking them out to make them look like they're ready for business. 19, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. You know, these chains were actually tied to the feet so then they walked, the little bells would tinkle. But they were tied together, okay? And where they had to take little small steps. They couldn't take big steps. And it was kind of, the Hebrew is, means kind of heel to toe. All they could do. Verse 19. Verse 20, rather. The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings. And this word tablets, is this kind of loses if you don't understand what that word means. It's the dwelling place of the soul. It's nefesh, nefesh bayita, which means the dwelling place of the soul. Where is your dwelling place of your soul? Is it heaven or hell? In other words, that's what the judgment will get you. It's all, you know, you're going to find out that if you're the very dwelling place of your soul is gone if you're not careful. God prepares a people. And all the people have to do is listen to him to be blessed. That's not difficult. Why? Because he loves you. He loves his children. But he sure doesn't love this haughtiness of trying to take God out of the equation. What do you have when you take God out of the equation? You got heathenism. I mean, people gone wild, gone crazy, killing each other, running over each other. Morals, degradation coming upon all the people. Does that sound familiar? Look around you. Observe what's happening. Our Father loves his children. He gives us the right way to go and the way he wishes us to go. Pay attention. Next verse, we go to 21. The rings and nose jewels. All the fancy things that she had, that she piles upon herself. To serve God? No. To serve man? Well, could be in that way. Following man. Being pleasers to man. Doing things man's way, not God's way. 22. The changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples. That's the neck bindings. And the crisping pins. Oh, my little purse. The little purse I got with me here. And understand, this is not to a female, but to the bride of Christ. It's supposed to be. 23. The glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. All these party clothes, where they are prepared to not follow God, but to party, party, party. Okay. To do things of the world that just in their mind look so wonderful. Those old, I mean, walking along with those old necks stretched up higher than everyone else. So haughty. Boy, when she comes down with a bang, a big fall. Kind of sad, you know what I mean? It really is that people allow themselves to be misled by following man, you know. And dressing practical is, there's nothing wrong with that. Dressing modern, nothing wrong with that, if, as long as it's decent. But when you kind of dress to advertise the wares, fall of our people coming, because it's going to. Antichrist is coming. And they will follow him. They'll get all this garb back out to catch his eye, to wink at him. and as it said earlier, making twinkling of their feet and wanton eyes, blinking, winking. Back in verse 16. It happens, and it will come again. But you stay honest and humble before Almighty God. Follow Him, not man, not teachers that err, but that teach the Word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby you have the truth. Verse 24, to continue. And it shall come to pass, not maybe, but it shall come to pass, that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. Instead of a girdle, a rent. That's a rope. Instead of some fancy big old girdle, you're just going to be lucky to have a rope around you. And probably the rope that'll be they'll be led away captive with, spiritually speaking, by Antichrist. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a stomacher, a grinding of sackcloth, a girding of sackcloth. Sackcloth and ashes, and burning instead of beauty. You know, this is when you follow, this is when they wake up and realize they've absolutely whored after Antichrist. It doesn't make our Heavenly Father happy at all. And our Heavenly Father is looking for a virgin bride for His Son. That is to say, spiritually speaking, someone that truly stays in line with Almighty God, that does not go astray, that follows Him and is in Him and has nothing to do with the things of the world, where the wimpish teachers that err in their way, that teach traditions of men rather than the Word of God, that lead people down that path of claiming security and yet at the same time never quite getting around to teaching chapter by chapter and verse by verse, giving the strength and the blessings of God that it takes to overcome in these end times. It's important. It's ever important that one really don't be caught up in that stinking mess, spiritually speaking. Stay true to Him. Verse 25. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. The war with the false Christ, they're going to lose, okay? They're going to be taken in by Him. Why? Because His sword is a false sword, not the sword of the Lord, certainly. And they will be taken in. Why? Because they're following man rather than God. That's His message. Listen to me, my people. Come, let us reason together, is what He's saying. Don't follow man. Verse 26, to complete the chapter. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. She certainly won't be saying, I sit a queen, I'm not a widow. Don't wake up sometime and find yourself in that position, that state of degradation, baldness, nakedness, with just a rope around, being captive. Captive to false teachings, captive to Satan's evil spirit. Wandering in the wilderness of life. What went wrong? Well, God's telling you. Don't be haughty and follow traditions that are ever so the opposite of being humble before Almighty God. Those that are humble before God are the ones that inherit this earth for the eternity. It's up to you. And you set the pace and you set the record in the book of life by which you're accused by Almighty God or judged by Him. You know, if you're righteous, it's payday for you. That's when all the good things are poured out. Her gate shall lament. Do you know what gates are? They're what holds the enemy out. You need to keep those gates guarded. And you need to keep those gates secure, whereby the people are safe to follow the Word of God, to follow the teachings of Almighty God. That's one great thing about this nation, is we do have freedom of religion, though people nibble at it and people try to take it away. But that's fine. We've still got it. We will always control our gates. That's a promise of Almighty God. How precious His Word is. Don't miss the next lectures as we go on into this great book of Isaiah. You know, our Father tells us, teaches us, leads us, and directs us. Do you listen? Does He have your attention? You know, it's such a better life and a happier life to be blessed rather than to be lost and wimpish through the world. To be somebody, to be a child of God, to be blessed of God, to have peace of mind, and be able to overcome the babyish, immature minds that rule, but to find peace even within that, because you know the true ruler is Almighty God. Don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular religion, reverend, denomination, or organization. Let's don't judge people. We have a judge, and that's our Father, our Heavenly Father. And He doesn't need any help. All you need to do is discern. Be able to discern spirits. And you'll do real good. Now, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you a mailing address. You got a prayer request. You don't need the number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. And He loves you. Do you understand that He created you different than anyone else? Your fingerprints are different. Your DNA is different. He loves you. May not love what you're doing, but He does love you. And He wants you to stand with Him. Father, around the globe, we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, Em, we'll get into some questions. We're going to take Kim and Clyde from Virginia. Question, how do strong drugs such as cocaine, heroin, and crystal meth hold people in bondage? Does this open one up to Satan's powers? Does alcohol? There's spirits in it, okay? And they're not good spirits. That's why they're called spirits in the bottle or otherwise. Is it repetitious if I pray every day for some problems, or does faith need to be released through thanksgiving? Well, both. But repetitious prayer is chanting. You're not chanting. And drugs can, you know, if you are weak in spirit, they can take you over. You can give in to them, and it's a sad state of affairs. There's places that if a person can't cut it on their own, and they should just be, quit and get into the Word of God. Pray for healing. But then there are places that can give help, and that's thank God for them, from alcoholism as well as drugs. And there's no shame or disgrace in seeking help to get out from under that curse. Janie from West Virginia, Joanne from West Virginia. Pastor Murray, what does it mean when God says the meek shall inherit the earth? The word meek better translates the humble. Those that are humble before God, that means that let God be God, our Father, that follow Him, that obey Him, and do not, or not uppity. Now today we had in the lecture where they were long necked. That means they think they are so much better than all other people that you just can't hardly reach them. They're reaching for the sky, and they're headed for doom. So, to be humble before our Father and to listen to His advice. You know, out of all that mess today that she was in, our people, He slips that one verse in about the righteous are blessed. Because He means that. That's what it's about. And what is a righteous person? A person that tries to do what's right. You may not do what's right all the time, but at least you try. And He counts that good enough when you're really, truly trying. One thing about it, you always keep in mind, you can never con Him. But when you're trying, He counts that as sufficient. And that is humbleness before Him, looking for His leadership. Betty from West Virginia, where in the Bible do I find about the war of destruction and the number in the Greek language, Strong's Concordance, for katabo? Okay, in the Greek, I'm going to tell you how you would find it so that you'll be able to do it for yourself. Okay, take the Strong's Concordance and take the word foundation, okay, as it is used in Matthew chapter 13. Along about verse 35, 36. The word foundation as it is used there. And take it back to the Greek and you'll find it will take you to the prime, which is katabo, the destruction, 2598. Take it all the way to the prime. If you have a companion Bible, your appendix 146 gives you a fantastic work on that subject. And it's when our Father destroyed the first earth age. He writes of it real good in Jeremiah chapter 4, where He was warning, hey, you better get your act together. This is what I did before, and don't think I won't do it again. Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning along about verse 18. PC from Georgia. Our income is from dividends presently in stock market. I really don't like to give advice, but as long as our government is intact, you don't have to worry about that. It will be sufficient. But always have some liquidity that's available, okay? Don't put all your eggs in one basket, in other words. That's all the advice I will give. Sharon from Nevada. What is happening to those who are unfortunate enough to end up on the wrong side of the gulf? Hopefully not me. Well, hopefully it won't be, all right? Are they suffering only in their minds, or are they're being physically and mentally tortured? They're not. God loves His children. He's not going to torture them. They torture themselves. They burn with embarrassment when they're right there in paradise within sight of the throne of God. They can see Abraham. I'm quoting from Luke chapter 16. They can see the joy of those that obeyed God and were just simply followed Him. And here they know that they're hell-bound if they don't get it together in the millennium. Not a second chance, but the fact that they didn't know any better in many cases because of what's taught, what the leaders lead and teach. They have to take a little more responsibility when you set yourself up to pastor. You better know what you're doing because you have a great deal to answer for, especially if you mislead people. That's a terrible, terrible sin. But they're not suffering mentally or physically. I'm sorry, they're not suffering physically. It's all mental. And they know they didn't make it, and they're disappointed, of course. Nettie from Washington. Is it wrong for me to be happy? I have a liver disease that has no cure except to get a... When it's time, that's what Christians work forward to, is to be with the Lord. So, always know that our... And when you pray... You pray that the Father's will be done, not your will. But always pray that the Father's will be done. He may still have something for you to do. Okay, so you want to leave it in His hands, not yours. Got it? Estes from Alabama. Will you explain Isaiah 24:1 and Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23-26? Jeremiah 4:23-26 is the cattle bowl. We just discussed it. Isn't that amazing how question follows question? Isaiah 24:1 is yet future. It's a destruction and a great shaking that's coming. As we covered in a lecture before last, from Hebrews chapter 12, the closing verses of the chapter tell you that very shaking. So what you're asking in Jeremiah chapter 4 happened in the first earth age. Isaiah 24:1 happens at the end of this age. Okay? Got it? Rightly divide the word of God. It will always set you straight. Okay? Paul from Virginia. My name is Paul. Today, in response to a letter, you said that the only sin which cannot be forgiven is murder or criminal homicide. For your statement, am I to gather that I cannot be forgiven and have no hope of being accepted by Christ and going to heaven? If so, please tell me where you get that idea from. Well, first, you didn't listen to what I said. I said, no one that commits a criminal homicide can have forgiveness in the flesh. I get that from the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to say it again. The first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 15. Now, that's not to say you can't have forgiveness. Our Father can, but it's up to our Father. I'm not the judge. And because someone that literally lies in wait, and this is not a crime of passion. You got to know the law pretty good before you start judging people to death. But God does demand the death penalty for someone that wickedly, evilly lie in wait and take a life, okay? Not a crime of passion. A crime of passion is a different thing. But then in that case, God has to do the judging, and He's going to do the judging, all right? But that's up to Him. But you never heard me say that a murderer cannot have forgiveness. That's up to God. He just, he cannot have it in the flesh. People kind of hear what they want to hear instead of hearing a total statement. Always listen. Jim from California, if slavery is a great evil regardless of when or where it is practiced, why did Jesus not specifically condemn it, or did he? Well, he didn't change anything about the law. And the laws concerning slavery are pretty liberal. Leviticus chapter 25, along about verse, 30 through 39, or 39 through about, on a little further, will tell you that The slaves have to be freed after the debt is paid. Usually it was a debt that caused them to have to work it off. That's what it was at that time. And I really don't quite understand where you're coming from. But Christ didn't change the law. And he taught, learned the truth, and the truth will set you free, regardless of what. Okay? Anna from Michigan. How can I better prepare myself to allow God to speak through me? I give an acceptable answer to every man, woman, and child. We really need to know who we are talking to, and every situation is different, as difficult. Well, it's true. You have to. This is where discernment of the Holy Spirit comes into being. And if you are gifted in allowing yourself to speak, then always know what you're talking about. Always know your subject. Be prepared. And never, ever be afraid to say, I don't know, let's check it out. Okay? And research it. Okay? But never be afraid to share truth that you do have when maybe you don't know all things, because nobody knows all things. But you can always learn, and you can always learn together. I always open up and take questions from a congregation after I teach. And many pastors say, well, why would you do that? Because I'm not afraid of saying I don't know. Because nobody knows all things. It's just impossible. But it's sure fun to find out the things you don't know. That's called wisdom. Okay, we got Belinda, I think this is. Thank you for your comments on the staff. My question, Matthew 24:22, no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Why does it say flesh and not souls? But because they're still in the flesh body. Matthew 24, Jesus was asked in verse 3, what will be the signs when you return at the second advent, and what will be going on here? And that's what he's telling us in that 24th chapter of Matthew. All seven trumps are written out there in detail of exactly how it's going to go down. But what he's saying is, Satan, the false Christ, is so believable that if God had let him have this full 7 years that were predicted, example, in the days of Daniel, then God didn't feel there would be any flesh people in the flesh that could have their souls saved, because he's so convincing and supernatural, able to snap his fingers and lightning come down from heaven, performing great miracles in the sight of man. So for that reason, he shortened the time whereby people in flesh bodies that were his elect. I don't believe we'll lose any of them, quite frankly, but I do thank our Father that he shortened the time. Heather from West Virginia, and thank you for enjoying the study. Did the stone of scone ever come to the U.S. this year? No. If so, how long was it here and where was it? It wasn't. Okay. The stone of scone has never, ever been in the United States. It was in Canada. Nobody knows exactly where, but it was hidden there during World War II for safe protection. In Canada, and then it was returned back to the cathedral, and now back to Schoon. Okay, Regina from Virginia, how will we be able to identify the influx of Nephilim in these last days? Spiritual discernment, and besides that, they're supernatural. And they will stick out like a sore thumb, so to speak. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual discernment. And that's what spiritual discernment is about. Don't ever be, you know, your advice concerning this is given by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 10. Keep Christ over your head and you don't have anything to worry about. He'll take care of you. Why? You keep him above your head, as it states in verse 10, because of the angels. And that's the Nephilim, which is the fallen angels. God will always protect his own when you utilize common sense and do it his way, okay? Then you got nothing to worry about. Jerry from Mississippi, what is the best chapter in the Bible that goes along with telling us that the end times are near? Well, I suppose a chapter that we've had been quoting from a couple of times in this very question-answering time is Matthew 24. Why would I say that? Because Jesus was asked in verse 3 of Matthew 24, give us the signs that will be happening and tell us how it will be at the end of this world, this dispensation of time. And he tells us exactly. Now, also, he would say in that, in Mark 13, learn the parable of the fig tree. And when she shoots forth leaves, which she did in the year of our Lord, 1948, because it was when Israel would become a nation again. It never had. From the time that Christ walked the earth to 70 A.D. to 1948, that gives you the first time. He said that generation will not pass away until all prophecy is fulfilled. So we're in it. Natalie from Florida, thank you for enjoying the broadcast. This morning I heard you answer a letter and you said that murder is an unforgivable sin. Maybe you meant that it seems to be from human's perspective, but my church teaches that the only unforgivable or unpardonable sin is disbelief in our Savior. Doesn't that make sense? No, it doesn't. Okay? It doesn't make sense at all, because that's not what the Bible says. And besides, you did not hear me say that to murder is an unpardonable sin. I said it's not possible to receive forgiveness in the flesh. First Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 15. They are sent to God, and he judges whether they have forgiveness or not, not us. And the unpardonable sin is not disbelieving the Savior. The rich man that died with Lazarus didn't believe, and he was held in paradise for the millennium age. That's pardonable if he makes it right for the second resurrection. Maybe. That's up to him. But the unpardonable sin, do it as the Bible states. Luke 12, verse 10. The unpardonable sin is for one of God's elect. This is somebody that knows the second coming, the fact that the false Christ will come first. And then for that person who has the absolute knowledge, knowing that they're supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them, refuse. That's unpardonable. But and that's biblical. Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Darlene from Mississippi. My question is, when you were on the battlefield at war, what was the most important thing you and the other soldiers wanted to be sent to you all while you were protecting us and our country, the good old U.S. of A.? I see you have a daughter that's in harm's way at this time and on active duty. Love from home, you know. That's naturally a little something from home. Mama's own little cookie making and what is always goes fantastically well. But mom's love goes a lot further, okay? So that's just really makes the day, okay? Walter from Wisconsin. My question is about what you said on Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 18 through 20, about the rapture and the saints of God flying away. That chapter in Ezekiel does not say anything about flying away. No, it doesn't. But you'll find it in chapter 13 of Ezekiel, beginning with the 18th verse. And God says, I've got my outreached hands to bring salvation, but those daughters, which means the people that are misled, they sew kerchiefs or pillow slips to place over my hands that people can't see them and try to teach them to fly to save their soul. And he says, I'm against that. And he is. He's against it quite heavily. And Ezekiel chapter 13, sorry if I misspoke or if you misheard, whatever, we got it straight now. Ezekiel chapter 13. Inez from Mississippi, and Inez, I'll have to catch you tomorrow. I'll be out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Do you know something? It makes His day when you study the letter He has sent to you. And when you make His day, He's going to make yours. To be pleasing to God is a beautiful thing, to feel His warmth and His blessings as He touches your life. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you know what? You bless God, He will always bless you. There's one thing that's most important, and that's this, that you always stay in that Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed